Welcome to Scrappy ABM, your source for groundbreaking approaches that don't break the bank. ABM shouldn't cost $200K in tech to even get started. So if you want to get started with ABM or make your program even better without investing a massive amount of money, you're in the right place. Each week, we'll hear from the brightest minds in the marketing world who are redefining ABM, achieving incredible results with untraditional methods, limited resources, and a whole lot of creativity. This isn't a show about how much money you can spend on fancy tech or overhyped tools. Instead, it's about celebrating creative problem solving and the scrappiness it takes to get ABM right. We'll dive into how these marketing leaders built robust ABM strategies with limited resources, revealing the actionable insights that led to their biggest wins. So if you're a marketer ready to challenge the status quo and build a scalable, efficient, effective marketing strategy, Scrappy ABM is the show for you. So if you're ready to discover ABM strategies that are lean, impactful, and utterly transformative, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. I'm incredibly excited today to be joined by Tyler Pleiss. And if you don't know Tyler, first of all, like, go subscribe to his newsletter, one of my favorite newsletters of all time for ABM. We're actually going to dig into his actual strategy. He's been at Movable Inc. for the past couple months building out how to actually scale ABM from the ground up. And I loved his most recent newsletter. It was like riding solo and talking through how he's going to do it without an ABM platform. So we're going to dig into it all today. I may give a couple of thoughts. But if you are looking for an ABM program with not a lot of resources, this is the perfect episode for you to be listening to. So Tyler, thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Mason. Yeah, excited to walk through what we have running or getting ready to run here at Movable Inc. And then also just have a discussion about it with you and get your thoughts. Because as always, I'm always looking to improve and see what we can add and tweak. So I'll go ahead and start sharing and just, you know, walk you through this step by step.
Love it. Let's get into it.
Awesome. All right. So for this, I'm actually going to present our Centers of Excellence strategy, or at least the strategy that I'm trying to put together here internally. So for those of you that don't know, Movable Inc. Is a software company. It's actually based out of New York, but it is a email platform that provides personalization to many B2C brands that you know about. So it allows them to send out promotional emails with scaled personalization to the individual user. So if you know, shop at Nike.com or Adidas.com and you're getting those promotional emails in your inbox, that have your first name in it or have, you know, the shoes that you were just looking at, chances are that they're using our tool to do that. So it's a very exciting company to be a part of. We're global. So as part of this, you know, Centers of Excellence strategy, we want to be able to kind of build that foundation for not just North America, but eventually into these other regions so that we create a very consistent process. So a lot of what you see will be that foundational work. And then I'll actually, if we have time, just walk through a quick strategy that we're launching here. But one of the first things that I've done internally is really define what is account-based marketing. I've actually termed it account-based go-to-market. Upon getting into Movable Inc., there's a lot of connotation around ABM as just gifting, like using Reach Desk to send out gifts to prospects and customers, which is great, but it's not actually what we're trying to do. So on my part, I'm really just trying to define that internally as really the process of which our go-to-market team, so marketing, outbound sales, even CX eventually, align on a set of accounts to prioritize each quarter to reach specific goals, such as new calls booked, qualified opportunities, pipeline, and then eventually get those to revenue. So every meeting that I'm in and I'm explaining what we're doing, I lead with this slide, really try to make sure they understand what we're doing. Go ahead,
Mason. I love that you come in with a definition. The only question I have is like, why every quarter versus just these are the accounts that we prioritize? So that's the only question I've got.
And I will get to that in a second. So that's okay. A little bit of part of that. It will be a yearly long process with quarterly focuses. So you'll kind of see that play out here over the next few slides. But in addition to defining what it is, I also want to be able to make sure we have an understanding of like, what are the key pillars of this strategy? Like, what are we supporting this with? And so for this part, we want to make sure that when we're running this, we want to support our annual or, you know, quarterly go-to-market goals and objectives. So every year or every quarter, our leaders set these goals. We want to make sure that, you know, whatever we're doing as far as an account prioritization, messaging standpoint, content standpoint, that we're supporting at least one or two of those goals. And with that, we want to make sure we're using data-driven insights to support it, right? So we want to make sure we're leveraging our first and third-party data to make those really, you know, important decisions on the accounts we're working on it and really the go-to-market goals that we're trying to support. And then as always, when it comes to any sort of account-based strategy, we want to make sure everything that we do is highly targeted when it comes to messaging and content. That's basically kind of the core essence of everything. So over the next few slides, I just kind of like break down examples of what we're trying to do. So when we think of like go-to-market goals or objectives, like these are some of the things that we have internally in terms of accelerating, you know, products, certain product pipeline and bookings, first-year success within our clients, expanding our, you know, cross-sell revenue and pipeline, or any sort of, you know, new partnerships. I shouldn't say new partnerships, but current partnerships that we want to expand further. So really thinking about how we can support at least one or two of these throughout our program. And then we do that, obviously, through prioritizing accounts. But when we do the prioritization piece, we want to make sure, like I said, we're supporting that with first and third party data. So looking in our CRM, at least for now, because we don't have a ton of tech, but looking at things like churn clients, close lost opportunities. We're pretty verticalized. So looking at, you know, do we have any super successful or maybe emerging verticals that we should prioritize within this? And then for us, our big thing is ESP partnerships. So, you know, Salesforce Marketing Cloud, Adobe are, you know, are two of our Braze or two or three of our biggest, you know, ESP providers that we partner with. So thinking about those. And then one of the newer things that we're going to be prioritizing is data from former champions and power users of our platform. That's such a big deal across the board is that when people use Movable Ink and they, you know, go to a new job, they are typically taking us with them. And so we want to have a better way of tracking that and leveraging that. And then obviously when it comes to, you know, the messaging and content piece for us, we want to make sure that we're really focused on, you know, first a specific product and a use case for that product. And then, you know, kind of drilling down like the previous slide that you just saw here, we want to make sure that, you know, we're really aligning the data, you know, with the prioritized accounts, right? So we want to make sure that if it's churned accounts or close lost accounts, we want to, you know, make sure we're thinking about why, you know, why did they churn? Why did they close lost? And really funnel that back up to the messaging and the content that we're using within that strategy. So we want to make sure this is all connected back together. And so kind of going back to your earlier point, Mason, around, you know, quarterly, you know, why is it quarter versus, you know, ongoing? So it is an ongoing process. Like we're always throughout the year going to be running an account-based strategy. It's just, we want to make sure, at least from my part and how I view this is, you know, we want to be able to focus on a certain go-to-market goal or objective every quarter. And that's where kind of the quarterly focus and themes come into play. So it's ongoing, but think of it as quarterly themes. So every single quarter, we'll have a certain area of focus that rolls back up to a go-to-market objective. And this is where my internal calendar has come into play of how we want to potentially plan this out every single quarter. And you'll see that here. So for example, this could be what next year looks like if we had the same go-to-market objectives, right? So, you know, for us, partners are a big deal. And we go to two big partner events in Q1. So for us, like our account-based strategy is going to be very heavily focused on certain accounts with certain partnerships. And then you go into Q2, we have a big Think Summit event every year in June. And that for us is a huge pipeline and revenue driver. And so for us, that could potentially be a big opportunity for us to also bring back former clients to understand the product roadmap, intermingle with some of our very successful clients, right? Re-engage them, get them back into the pipeline. And then you can see that in Q3 and Q4 where it's, hey, let's make sure every quarter we're prioritizing the right accounts, followed by very specific offers that, you know, mix in the, you know, the messaging and the assets. But with all that, right, we want to make sure there's cross-functional alignment. So as you know, Mason, you know, that's the biggest thing for success in this. And so one of the ways that I do that is by really just trying to outline what is our actual process? What does that look like internally? So these are the steps that I have placed to take internally in terms of like how we make sure that we're, you know, touching all the different cross-functional stakeholders from just me drafting the strategy to presenting it to our BDR, our outbound leaders and their teams to make sure they understand to taking this to our VPs of sales and running it through with them to make sure they understand what we're doing. Because internally, actually, our BDRs report to growth marketing. So there's already a ton of alignment there, but we also want to make sure on the sales side, they understand like who are the accounts we're prioritizing and why, so that when they see them start coming through the pipeline, they know why we're doing that. But through all this, we want to make sure we're collecting feedback, right? Making revisions. And at the end of the day, stacking hands, making sure we're all aligned so that when we do kick this thing off in the next few weeks, which is what's happening here, We're all good to go. There's no questions. Everybody, you know, understands exactly what's happening for the next 3 months. And again, this is that slide I just walked through in terms of the calendar format. And so this is more detail on like how we want to think about the actual account list that we're prioritizing. So this is my process in terms of like, we want to focus on the quarterly theme. We have regions internally. So we have, you know, West, Central, Southeast, Northeast regions. So it's important to kind of scale across those, right? You also don't want to have 5,000 accounts in this program because then it's not feasible. And so for us, it's, you know, how can we get maybe the top 50 accounts per region on our list? And that's something that I'll go through first. And then obviously throughout this process, bring in the outbound leaders, the sales leaders to come through those lists, right? To make sure they understand the list selection, highlight any that need to be taken out, right? Continuing that cross-functional alignment. But within that list, like I talked about earlier, we're going to layer on additional fields, right? So it might be, okay, we'll look at churn reason, but we also want to try and layer on, you know, maybe it is, you know, champion tracking data or other sorts of engagement data just to continue to funnel that down. Or do they have any previously closed lost opportunities for the sole purpose of really drilling down and making sure we're getting that low hanging fruit that our outbound and sales team can have the most success with. And then, like I said, eventually want to get to that full go-to-market alignment through that review process, them checking the boxes, making sure all these accounts look good. And then probably like one of the biggest pieces is Salesforce. And so once we get all of these account lists, you know, finalized, then it's working with RevOps on how do we tag these? How do we identify these within Salesforce? Because with that, that's going to help us report back on success. So we're actually doing this right now. We're getting our accounts tagged or identified within a certain matter in Salesforce. And then eventually we're going to use that to, one, create reports that the outbound and sales teams can just easily navigate to, understand who their accounts are without having to create a bunch of different filters. But then use those same lists to pull in the KPIs that we're going to measure in terms of opportunities created, intro calls booked, pipe, right? And put those all in one account-based go-to-market dashboard. And that's going to be the dashboard we'll use eventually to report back on to all of our cross-functional leaders.
Can I ask a couple quick questions just around like the actual list creation? Because you've got four regions, which means every quarter you're going to focus on at max 200 accounts. So I'm just curious for you, are you building out a list of 50 and saying like, here are the 50 that I would recommend going after, this is it? Or are you building a larger list anticipating that the sales team, the outbound team will whittle it down further? I'm just curious, like, because that's one of the hardest things. And I see some people get stuck in the like, who do I go after? So I'm just curious from you, like, how do you build that first list to then get the approval?
It's a great question. Truthfully, I don't go into it maybe thinking, you know, it's going to be a perfect 50 every region, right? At the end of the day, I want to make sure there's quality over quantity. So like, there's always like, even for the account list we have now, like there's not 50 per region, there might be 30, and then one region maybe have more than 50. But at the end of the day, like I'm trying to really pay attention to, okay, churned reason, let's make sure we get the churned reason down, right? Like, let's filter out the bad ones. Let's make sure you have the good ones. And if that's, and, you know, that's running great, perfect. And then let's also look at some additional low-hanging fruit in terms of, you know, have they had any previous closed lost opportunities? Who are their partners, or who is their ESP platform that they're using, right? And so I want to make sure we have those filters down pat and we have the accounts agreed upon first, and then quantity probably comes last. So like, would it be great to have 50 accounts per region? Yeah, that'd be ideal. But is it going to shake out that way? No. Like, I think our list right now is probably 145 accounts. I'm fine with that, right? Because I know at the end of the day that we've gone through those processes to make sure that these are the best accounts for this strategy for this quarter. That's all I want. And then we can go from there. I'm a big fan of not getting too high on volume with accounts, because then you kind of lose the essence of why we're doing this in the first place.
Yeah, I could not agree more. And I think that's just a super helpful to think through. The other thing that I really love about everything you've outlined thus far is just like, you're going to known trusted wells for information. So it's partner, it's churned, it's closed lost, and then it's user gems through champion tracking. Like, I always talk about like stacking the deck in your favor from a data perspective to try to go to the places where you have the best data when you're building this out. And that's a full year of account-based programming that is foundational, that is in large ways always on type programming. like from a process perspective. So like, I just really want people to see and to hear, I don't have to go to third-party data as the only source. Like, not everything has to be exclusively, let me go out into the world and like go pull the Fortune 5000 list and say like, oh, let me go. Like, if they don't know that you exist, why would you start there?
Yeah, couldn't agree more. And a lot of that third-party data can be good, but I always think it's more supplemental than primary data that you should be using. And honestly, like, we don't even have the champion stuff in place yet. Like, I would say 98% of this is still all first-party data within our CRM. So it's, you know, it's using the data that you can trust that you know is right. And then if we do eventually expand on that data, like, that's always going to be supplemental in my mind of like, yeah, how can we complement what we already have? So
perfect framing. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. But as we kind of go through this, what some other things I try to outline are, you know, the messaging is always going to be the key part. And I think this is something that I don't think everybody misses, but is kind of an undervalued aspect of when you try to think about messaging, not just with like account-based marketing, but any sort of campaign, is who are you working with on that? So for me, you know, I try to work on, you know, maybe from a growth marketing standpoint, like, I'll try to identify like the overall theme or direction, right? Like, it's churned accounts. Okay, great. Like, that's the direction we're going in. But then from there, I'm pulling in specific leaders from our product marketing team and our content team and meeting with them and even our outbound leadership team, because they're going to be doing the outbounding, right? And bringing in all those parties together to say, hey, here's the quarterly theme. Here's what we're trying to do. I need your help. Let's think about what is the kind of the overarching message we want to run with, and then how can we put that into the specific, you know, key offers and tactics that we're going to run with. And so for me, like, that's the process I want to outline. So like, every quarter we do this, like, we're pulling in those same folks, we're asking the same questions and getting to the right, you know, end game, which is let's get the right message, you know, based off of that quarterly focus. And then once we have all that, you know, this is when it kind of, you know, we bring in some of the fun stuff when we think about like some of the different tactics that support this. And so, you know, like I said, our growth marketing, you know, between myself and then like our BDR outbound team are still underneath, you know, our marketing department, but we're going to be working together to basically do one thing, and that's drive awareness and engagement and convert that awareness and engagement into opportunities, right? And so, you see a lot of the same, I'm not going to go through it line by line, but you see a lot of the same stuff you see, you know, anywhere else in terms of some of the targeted tactics, right? And then how we'll measure that. And then on the flip side, the outbound team is one of the great things with our outbound team is they have always relied on outbound and especially personalized outbound as a way to do their jobs. So for me, I'm lucky that I don't have to teach that or try to coach them on it. It's already in nature of their process. And so it's just, hey, let's just make sure they have the right messaging. Let's make sure they have the right content or maybe the right direct mail gifts. But then honestly, the most important thing that we're working on today is the right data. So we have all this data, we're targeting the right accounts, but we right now we're trying to make sure, do they have the right data basically to act on, to, you know, prioritize even further their accounts and turn that into opportunities, right? So when we think about, are people visiting our website? Are they engaging with our LinkedIn ads? You know, can we deliver that type of data to them in the right way that they can act on it, you know, every single day or every single week? And so for us, that's the big part of really getting the strategy to move forward and be successful, is getting that data in their hands that they can act on. But obviously none of this matters if we can't measure it. So as you saw on this previous page, like, there's some very like tactical things we're going to measure on the marketing and the outbound side. And these are things that I won't necessarily present on in a high level meeting, of things that like I'll work on personally. I'll work on with our outbound team personally on, just to measure, you know, how are we tracking on a week to week basis. But at an overall kind of high level, these are the metrics that I will always report back on. And these are, how many accounts are we reaching? How many of those are we engaging? And then are we turning those into calls booked, opportunities created, pipeline, number of bookings, in terms of like quantity, and then obviously the overall revenue number. And then with that, I do have a formula that I put together with this to obviously make sure we justify these numbers, because I'm not just going to like pull these out of thin air and say, okay, these are just the random numbers. So some of these I've kind of carried with me throughout the year. Some of these are benchmarks that I've actually used when I was working at Terminus and when we were coaching customers. This is, you know, some of the numbers that we use there. So You know, in terms of accounts reached, I always want to get at least 80% of those reached on whether it's outbound, you know, LinkedIn. You know, holistically, we want to reach 80% of our accounts. And then out of that 80%, we want to increase engagement in 40% of those. So increase in engagement could be, you know, if you're using an ABM platform, they typically measure this. So it's very easy for you to kind of see that. If you're doing it without a platform like I am, it's a little bit more manual. So you're looking into things like LinkedIn, you're looking at outbound kind of, you know, activities and stuff like that. But you want to make sure that you're seeing an increase in overall engagement in terms of are they responding to the message that you're putting out there. And then finally, how are we turning those into calls booked and opportunities? So my rule of thumb personally has always been around like 20-25% of that total number of accounts that you're targeting to calls booked. For us, we're going to start at 25%. And then after Q3, we're going to look at that and say, okay, do we need to maybe bump it up to 30%? Do we need to bump it down? Like, we have to have some flexibility there. And then we want to get at least 50% of those calls booked into qualified opportunities. I actually think this number is going to be higher near probably like 60-70%. And this number is not necessarily a Tyler number. It's an internal number. So if you're looking at how you want, you know, conversions to shake out, you should be looking at your just overall, you know, conversion rates, right? So you should be looking at your outbound numbers to see typically on average every quarter, how many are you converting from just sheer target accounts to meetings booked? And that's what you should be using for this. It's a good rule of thumb. And then to get that pipeline number, kind of the same process. You should be looking at your average ACV and then using that to determine how much pipeline you're going to create. So when you kind of put this whole thing together, this is what it actually looks like. So now you can actually see the numbers shake out in terms of our churned account KPI is like an example of what this would look like in terms of how many, you know, accounts we want to get intro calls booked, out of those, how many opportunities we want created, and then the actual pipeline number. And that pipeline number is coming from historical data around our ACV within these specific types of accounts. And that's how we're getting to that number. So it's not like pulled out of thin air and Tyler's just, you know, doing some weird math. Like it's true data that we're using to back this up.
And I want to clarify, are these quarterly objectives that you're going after 144 accounts and after everything shakes out on a quarterly basis, you're anticipating your ABM program to generate about 3 million in pipe?
Yep. So this is a quarterly 12-week program. And truthfully, like, you know, the way things are shaking out at Movable, it might go past Q3 into a little bit of Q4 just because of timing and obviously me only being there for 2 months. So yeah, eventually this got to be like a true quarter over quarter type program.
Okay. Amazing.
Yeah. And then this is the part that I always take a lot of pride in, is how do we communicate success? And I kind of call this my operational cadence. So similar to how you go through the ABM planning process, you want to make sure you're communicating it as well. And so for me, these are some of the different meetings that I've actually put in place to communicate how we're progressing on our KPIs. And so every week I have meetings with our outbound leadership team. That's going to be tracking all of our KPIs. Then on a biweekly basis, I'll be joining their teams on team calls to get, you know, kind of that firsthand anecdotal feedback, brainstorm, to see how things are going. Monthly basis, that's where we'll have like the big go-to-market leadership meetings with the sales leaders, other folks, just to, you know, communicate success. Quarterly basis, this is where, you know, if we want to maybe spin up a one-to-one program, you know, I'll sit in their QBRs, understand what accounts they have coming, or I'll use those opportunities to communicate anything that we have coming up from an account-based perspective. And then we'll also use the quarterly and yearly framework to, you know, do like those retrospectives just to kind of like communicate out, okay, how did everything go? What's the good, bad, and ugly? And so, yeah, that's kind of the foundational framework of what we're trying to do. So this is an actual strategy we're looking to implement here in the next 2 weeks. This is our win-back strategy. And we're going to be running this through Q3. So this isn't, again, something I've pulled out of thin air. This is using actual data that we have internally to suggest that we should focus on these accounts. Historically speaking, we know that they have a higher win rate versus just net new. They also retain at a higher clip after 1 year. And they also bring in 3x more annual revenue. So the data backs up the reason why we should be focused on these accounts. How does this align back to like our go-to-market objectives? Well, one of our go-to-market objectives this year is first-year success. So funny enough, if we get these accounts, they retain a lot higher. So that transcends into that go-to-market goal. And then this, again, is just how we determine the right win-back opportunities to focus on. So Mason, we've talked about like, okay, what's the right amount? Like, what are the right accounts? What's that process? And so this is just kind of a glimpse into some of the filters and how we kind of go through that whole process to get to this account list. So we have specific criteria. We want to look at some different exclusions. And then we have the account list linked out. So that way our reps and our sales leaders and our outbound leaders can go through there and basically highlight any that we need to take out. And then we get to a final list. And then going through this, again, nothing special here. We've already talked through a lot of these different targeted methods that we're going to use. So nothing too new here. We will be targeting these accounts using streaming TV ads. So with CTV being rolled out on LinkedIn and the fact that we do have such a robust team internally, when we think of our brand team and our creative team, we're going to have them help us out with some videos for that. So that'll be very cool to run. These are some of the themes that we're using. So I talked about earlier, like what, you know, the messaging and aligning with content and product marketing. So for us, we were able to come together and basically identify, you know, three core themes that we want to use throughout the messaging throughout this. And then this is a slide I just walked through in terms of KPIs. So these are the actual KPIs for this program. So by the end of Q3 or maybe, you know, November timeframe, our Q3 starts today, actually. You know, what we'll be seeing is, you know, hopefully at least 25 opportunities created from this list and at least 3 million in new pipeline created from win back opportunities. But the one thing we also want to make sure is like, what is our ROI from this strategy? Like, what are we investing versus what are we going to get back? So for me, like, I don't have an expansive LinkedIn budget to run ads, and that's something I have to be cognizant of. So for us, we might be looking at, you know, could be around 5K for a full quarter of running targeted ads across, like I said, CTV, static and video, in-feed ads, right? So that's what our investment is from the growth marketing side. And then, of course, we have the amount from qualified opportunities. And then if we use historical conversion rates to closed one meetings, which on these accounts, one, they typically have a higher ARR and they have an almost 2x win rate, which is around 32%. Eventually we could be seeing at minimum, you know, 8 new deals, potentially right around $1 million in net new revenue. So that's how I'll communicate potential success across leaders over the course of the quarter and into like Q4. So that's a little bit of a highlight of like what we're getting ready to run here in Q3.
Okay, so if anybody's listening to this, there will be a video. You should go watch the video for starters. And we'll add that at the beginning. The only thing that I've got some super quick questions on would just be, as you're launching this program, are you maintaining historicals as a generalization, or are, I've seen it even communicated of like, ABM is an experiment in and of itself. We should run off historicals, but actually decrease our conversion rates just to get it started to manage expectations. So I'm curious on the expectations front, because if I'm looking at this, I'm like, shoot, you're going to invest 5K into LinkedIn ads, and that should result in $1 million in revenue. Like, that sounds amazing. So I'm just curious on the managing of expectations front, how you came to those numbers, and just any rules of thumb you'd give for people.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of alluded to it earlier. Like, we have internal benchmarks that I know of, and I think we have to start with that. And because we haven't done this before, we don't have any historical. So I think we just have to find a starting point of like, let's use what we have internally as a baseline for conversion metrics, for ACV, like you see here with our win back opportunities. Like, we know the historical averages of ACV and win rate. So we want to start with those and use it as a baseline. So if we do come in over, great. We nailed it. If we come in under, then we know if we run this again next year, and let's say, you know, that 32% win rate was actually 20%, and maybe the, you know, conversions from, you know, intro calls booked to meetings booked was, you know, not 50%, it was like 30%, then that tells me, okay, then we need to re-level expectations moving forward and say, hey, we over-indexed this quarter based off of historicals, we should probably scale that back. And then also figure out, okay, what went wrong, or maybe what do we need to improve to make sure we get back to those historical benchmarks. So for me, it's like it's a starting point based off of what we know. And then over the course of the quarter, or, you know, looking back at the end of the quarter, depending on how things shake out, then that's where we can reevaluate and say, okay, let's look at this moving forward as actual benchmarks instead. To me, it's like you kind of just have to start somewhere.
Yeah, I think it's great framing. Tyler, I don't really have a whole lot to add. Like, you, I think you're covered off on just about everything. The only thing that I would just think through is exactly what I just said of expectations management. I think you've done a great job kind of laying out what the meeting should look like and how we actually work well together with a very clear plan. I'd be interested to see what the rest of the team thinks internally as you present it. You crushed it. So I think you're in a great spot, and I'm excited to kind of see how this comes to fruition.
Yeah. Thanks, Mason. Appreciate the time. And I'll be sharing out this journey as I go. So if you follow me on LinkedIn or subscribe to the newsletter, you know, I'll be continuously providing updates on a lot of this kind of like firsthand experience of like, you know, what's going well, what's not going well. Cause I'm sure like what you saw today will probably not look the same in a year from now, maybe not even 6 months. So I'll be communicating out how these things are going, more just to share my experience and hopefully help some folks out there as they're on their journey too.
I love it. Well, again, Tyler, thank you so much for joining us and sharing like not theory, but like a very practical, this is how I'm getting buy-in and communicating value and building the program from the ground up. Everybody go find Tyler on LinkedIn, go subscribe to his newsletter. This has been Scrappy ABM, and we'll see you in the next one.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Scrappy ABM. If you enjoyed this week's episode, go ahead and give us a follow so that you don't miss a single episode. We drop every single Monday so that you can start your week off right. And if you're looking for additional great content just like this, go check out scrappyabm.com. We're building a library of frameworks, guides, templates, processes, and tools so you have everything that you need to build a low-budget, high-impact, scrappy program. Again, thank you for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. This has been your host, Mason Cosby, and we look forward to seeing you in the next one.